we're going to have another guest come. And this guest is, she's been with us before. She's actually come and spoke at our ladies' conference and blessed many women, but now she's going to bless the entire church. Her name is Pastor Carol Ball. She's a graduate from Elam Bible Institute. She's ordained through Elam Fellowship. She served with Willow's Women's Ministry for 15 years and has recently, in 2013, accepted the position of Elam Fellowship's Director of Women's Ministry. She's spoken and ministered prophetically at conferences nationally and internationally, and she's been recognized by many as a great leader by both men and women and a powerful teacher of the Word. She's served as co-senior pastor of Lighthouse Community Fellowship for 27 years, and she was married to Pastor, or is married, excuse me, to Pastor Chris Ball. Now, it's not past, it's present and future. I'm sorry, Carol. I'm excited, what can I say? She flows in worship and prophetic ministry and brings a message of destiny to God's people. And we just want to welcome her this morning with a warm Living Waters welcome. All right?
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. Those are always, you go, okay, well, so, that's great. It's just a privilege to be here with all of you today. And my husband and I have been married 31 years and still counting. But he's ministering in a church in Pennsylvania today, in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So he couldn't be here, but that's all right. We, a lot of times our new position in ministry and life has takes us sometimes opposite or different directions on weekends, and that's a good thing. So the multiplication of the ministry, it's good. And sometimes we're together and sometimes we're not, but it's all good. And it's just an honor to be here with all of you today. And you know, when I come here, always when I come here in the worship, the presence of God in this place just is so inspirational and ministering and encouraging. And it's not like that everywhere we go. And so I just want to let you know that it's precious here and the presence of God. And it's just on my heart, just before I get into the message, I'm going to talk to you about lessons that I've learned from the storms of life today. And so I want to just encourage and inspire us together today. And whether or not you're currently in a storm, or whether you have been, or whether you're going to be, storms are inevitable, aren't they? You know, as long as we're on this earth, the weather patterns, there's going to be storms. And the same is true in our spiritual life and in our lives as well. There's going to be storms. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, in this life you will have tribulation. That's what storms are. They're tribulation. And whatever comes our way in this life, we're going to have them. But with him, we overcome. And he said to be of good courage, for he is our peace, he is our anchor, he is our shelter, he is all those things in the storm. So we are to be of good courage, but storms will come. So I'm going to share about lessons I've learned in my storms, in the storms of life and from others, and what the Word teaches us about that a little bit. But I just feel in my heart right now, I wanted to just kind of prophetically pray for this church. I mean, I feel God is stirring a word in this church of encouragement. I'm sure you've had words of encouragement, but you know, the church of God is alive and well. Amen? We are his people, and we have his presence, and we have his spirit. And you know, there's things and there's circumstances, and there's the atmosphere of the world, and there's the things in our lives, the enemy that would try and discourage the body of Christ and discourage the people of God and maybe cause us to think, well, you know, maybe, you know, it's not going to be like we had hoped it was going to be, or maybe it's not going to be like all those prophetic words said it's going to be, or maybe it's not going to, maybe we don't have, you know, the old, you know, maybe things, we just got to wait it out, you know, and ride it out and until Jesus comes. And but I don't believe that. I believe the church is alive and well. I believe the church is powerful. I believe God wants to do great and amazing things through his church. And I believe this is a day that he wants to move in his people and in your hearts and in your soul and in your spirit, and I believe that he wants to encourage us and get us back, just get that flame, blow on that flame that he already has put in us and cause us to rise up and be the church and be the people of God that he's called us to be. And with him, it's possible. He gives us the power. He gives us the strength. And you know, not that every single one of us, we are his body. We are his light. We are his fire. And if every single one of us shines in the place he has us, in the location he has us, in the geographical place he has us, in the position, in whatever job, career, wherever we are, if we are shining like lights, In this generation, the word calls it a perverse generation. Can we agree on that sometimes when we look around? But if we can shine as lights, there's going to be battles won. There's going to be victories coming for you know, your life and for the lives of those around you. We're going to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what he wants. If we're all doing it in our place, in our station, where he has each one of us, that's going to be powerful for this church, for Leroy, for New York State, for America, for the world. Because we are connected. We are just as connected to the people who love Jesus in China as you are connected to the person sitting next to you today. We are connected. That might be like, wow, that seems too big for me to even wrap my head around. But it's the truth. Because we are family. We have family all over the world. Because you are the body of Christ. You are the family of God. So I want to pray. I just want to pray. If you can agree with me, I want to pray a prayer that's in my heart for you and for this church. Because I believe God has great things. Great things. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, I pray the prayer right now in Jesus' name that Paul prayed in Ephesians, Lord God, that the eyes of our understanding would be open, Lord, that we would see, Lord, what is the great inheritance in the saints, Lord, that our eyes would be open, Lord, that we would see the power and the riches that are in you, Lord God, and the power that is for us, Lord, in you, Christ Jesus, and that, Lord, that we would see what is your inheritance, the inheritance in your saints, and what you have called us to, and what your purpose is for each one here, Lord, for each one here today, and even those that aren't here today, Father, and even those that will even come, Lord God, that their eyes would be open to your purpose, to your goodness, to your power, to your inheritance, Lord, to what you have, Father, from the oldest senior, Lord God, that's going to enjoy that ice cream, Lord, to the youngest baby in this place, Lord. I pray for the children, Lord God, that they would not be led to the right or to the left, but Father, for the children, that by your spirit you would keep their heart focused on you, Father, and that they would not be pulled, Lord God, or tempted away, Father, by the things that the enemy would try to put before them or the world would, Lord. But, Lord, that they would be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And, Lord, that they would not depart from the purpose and the path that you already have determined for them, Father, in spiritual realms, Lord. That they would pursue you with all their heart and seek you, Lord, and find you, Lord. And you would anoint them for the purpose that you've called them to, God. And Father, for every person here, Lord, that you would set a flame in them, the passion in them, Lord, the flame that's within them, Lord God, that flame of fire that you've put in them, Lord, that we receive from you, Father, when we receive you, Lord, that you would blow on that, Lord God, and set our passion again. Set it again, Lord. Breathe on the coals, Lord. For some, it's just embers, but there's still a fire, Lord. There's still a fire, and the coals are still burning. So, Father, breathe by your spirit on them, Lord God, with your wind, with the breath of God. And, Father, set ablaze again, Father, for this place, Lord God. This is your place, Lord, and your presence is here, and your presence dwells here, Lord God, and you make your name known in this place, Lord God, and I pray pray, Father, that your name would be known. It would go forth from this place, Lord, and it would be renowned, Lord God, in Leroy, Lord God. We pray big because you are a big God, Father, and you are a powerful God, Lord. And we pray this place, Lord, for increase, Lord, increase and blessing, Lord God. For Living Waters Church is in your hands, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, just as the living waters flow down in Ezekiel chapter 37 from your temple, Lord God, that they would flow down into this place and flow out of this place, Lord God. And that, Lord, that this place would know revival, Lord God. This place would know revival, Lord God. Father, wake your church up to what you want to do in these days. Wake us up, oh God. Wake us up, oh God, that we would again, Lord Jesus, not be discouraged, Lord God, but there would be a conviction in our souls, Lord God, Lord, that to do what you've called us to do and not to look at somebody else, Lord God, but to look to you and let your love, Lord, be shed abroad in our hearts, Lord God, that people would know who our God is. And they would see by our love, Lord God, who you are. And they would come, Lord, and they would praise our Father in heaven because they would see the witness of you through our lives, Father. I just predict, I pray and predict for the possibilities in this place, Lord God, for the expansion, for the growth, Lord God, that your light and your living water and your love would flow out of this place, Lord Jesus. And touch far-reaching places, Lord, that they've never even dreamed possible in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Believe it today. Believe God. Because with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we sit there. I'm not even getting into my message. I'm just so... Sometimes we go, yeah, I've heard it before. But I believe God wants us to hear it and hear it and hear it again. Wake us up, God, to your power, to your potential, to the possibilities that are in you. Wake us up, Lord. You know, sometimes you hear your alarm clock going off, you know, and it's like, what is that? And then you hit the snooze, and it keeps going off, and you don't really wake up yet. It's like snooze, and the alarm. But then all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute, I got to wake up. And that's because sometimes God keeps saying it until we get it. Yes, Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and you have called me, and you have put a purpose in my life and in my heart for each and every one of us. Not that we have to do, but that we get to do. We get to do. It's powerful. There's a young woman sitting right here in a pink shirt. What's your name? Melinda. Can you stand up? Because the Lord wants to say something to you. Oh, you're the ice cream, yeah. I knew because I see you're expecting one. So the Lord has a word for you. And he wants you to know that he sees the passion in your heart. He knows the passion in your heart. And you have a call on your life that's been a call since you were a little girl. And you have known the things that the Lord has said to you. And at times it was like, is that just a dream, Lord? Is that just a pipe dream? Is that really you? Is that ever going to come true? And the Lord says, it is going to come true. He said, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your limitations. He said, do away with looking at your limitations. Do away with, well, I really can't do that because. Don't do that anymore, because the Lord says, I will lead you and I will guide you, and you will do things that you have not even thought were possible to do. He said, I can do above what you can even imagine or think. And it might not look like the way that you're thinking it might look like, but you're going to find yourself moving and walking and ministering in the power of God and in the ability of God, and you're going to go, wow. This is what God said, and I can't believe it's happening with everything else, but he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And that ministry that he's called you to, you're going to impart to others. He's going to use you to see others flourish and grow in his kingdom and in the church. He's going to use you to extend his kingdom. He's going to use you to encourage others and call others up into their calling and into their ministry. He's going to use your fire, and he's going to use your, you have something in you to really call other people up. It's like a Miriam. When Miriam, when they came through the Red Sea, and she began, picked up the tambourine and began to dance and sing and said, come on, everybody, let's celebrate. I will sing unto the Lord, for the horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea. And you're going to be able to call others up to see what God has done with them and strengthen them in the journey that God has for them. That's what he has for you. And it's going to be a joy for your heart, a joy for your heart. And you're going to do it, and you're going to call your little ones doing it with you. You're going to call them with you. They're not even going to be, they're going to rejoice with you, and they're going to be dancing with you, and they're going to be little leaders, even at a young age. They're going to be little leaders and little encouragers because of the example of their mom, who she said, yes, Lord, here am I. Do to me as you have said. Do to your maidservant as you have said. And the life of Christ is going to be shining through your life in a powerful way. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Man, I love when God does that. It's so amazing. He loves us all, and he's got something for all of us. Let me get to him giving you lessons from the storm. But I'm just so excited of what God has. He's just put this thing in my heart this morning for you all, for the great things he has for you. You love God. Let him show you what he has. Let him use you. Let him use you as a light. This place has so much potential to just break forth and burst forth into revival, into seeing people, the river of revival coming through here, and seeing people saved, seeing people added to the kingdom. Amen. Amen. God is good. I talked about how storms are inevitable, and in all that, storms come. So what happens when the storm comes? When I was a little girl, I used to love storms. I used to sit out on the porch of our house, and I used to love like the smell in the air and how the air cooled down a little bit, and sometimes that blue-gray steel sky that came. I mean, I used to love that, the way the leaves were blowing, you know. But as I got a little older, I realized it probably wasn't as fun for my mom and dad because the power went out and trees fell in the yard and all this stuff. So as I got older, I'm like, yeah, the storm's coming. I hope the power doesn't go out. I hope we just had this summer. I guess there was those big winds that came through. We lost like 7 trees fell over in our yard. Thank God they didn't fall on our house. We're so thankful for that. But, you know, storms are, you know, they're scary sometimes. Sometimes in a storm we can wonder, are we going to be okay? You know, batten down the hatches, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, we look on the news. When my kids were little, like my husband, anytime that they would say on the news, like hurricane-level winds were coming, you know, the sun could still be out shining, and he was like, everybody get to the basement. You know, so we were like, the kids were like, Dad, we want to watch TV. There's nothing going on. You know, he's like, I don't care. Get in the basement. So it was like, I'm like, Chris, okay, well, you know. But you know, you can't blame him because when you hear of a storm, you want to be in a safe place, right? My kids, you've heard this before when we were here. My daughter and son-in-law just took our grandson to Oklahoma a few months ago, which wasn't nice, but they're in Oklahoma, you know, the tornado alley. So I'm probably, I go, oh, Lord. So she goes, oh, Mom, they just told us that there's always a well enough ahead of time. They know when they're coming in enough time. I'm like, okay, good, good, good. But you want to be in a safe place, you know? When storms come, you want to get somewhere that's safe. And when I think, my father, when I was little, he loved to fish. I grew up in New Jersey, and he would go out he'd go deep sea fishing, and he'd get these big tunas and bluefish, and he'd go out on the lake in the rowboat and fish, you know, get the trout and all that, you know, and the bass, and he would always say to us, you know, and I loved going out on the boat. I didn't like the fish, I didn't like the worms or anything, but, you know, I liked going out on the boat, and sometimes, you know, he'd go, well, we can't go out today because it looks like a storm's going to come. And he would always say to us, to my brothers and I, he would say, the most dangerous place to be if a storm comes is out on the water. He always would say that. It's the most dangerous place to be. Because, you know, there's no place to go but down, right? So, I mean, really. And, you know, the lightning, right? You're more vulnerable to lightning and all those things. And but I find it interesting that I, as I looked in the scriptures, there's four places and four places only where a storm comes to the people of God and they're out in a boat on the water. A storm comes and they're out in the boat on the water. Four places. One is we look at Jonah, and the other one is Paul in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul. He's out in the seas. And then there's the disciples. There's the two times that the disciples are in the boat. The one time Jesus gets in the boat and he says, let's go over, across the sea, the Galilee Sea. And then the other time he says to them, go over, but he doesn't get in the boat. And then he comes to them walking on the water. Four times, there are people of God are in a boat and a storm comes. And I want to share about those lessons, that principles from those four scenarios that we can glean from four different types of reasons that we can be out on the seas of life and the storms come. Sometimes you can see a storm coming and you're like, yeah, well, I'm not going out there. And then, but sometimes, like some of these, they went out there and boom, the storm came. So these four places, and I want to give you four things that I am confident of the Lord, that the Lord will do in these four different scenarios, in these four different storms. Now, I'm going to get through these by 11:30. So each one could be its own message. But I just felt today I want to encourage you, because we can be out there for many different reasons, but God is always faithful. God is always faithful. And the first one is in Jonah chapter 2. We see that. Now, the first two I'm going to give you is you're out on the sea because of your own decision, because of human choice, because of I made a decision to step out. The second two are God's leading. God told them to go out, okay? Now, whatever place we're in, we're on, you know, the life can be compared to, the sea of life. We're out on a sea of life, you know. God calls us. That's a metaphor we use. God calls us to walk out on the water. You know, God calls us to step in deeper, to step out further. And so when he calls us, whether it's when we come to him or whether he's calling us into a certain place, a certain job, a certain relationship, a ministry, or whatever it is, it's like we're stepping out onto the water. And the first one that I want to share with you, the first lesson that I've learned about the Lord is that God will give you mercy in the storm. God will give you mercy in the storm. You can be confident of that. Now, this is a storm where Jonah, how many know the story of Jonah? You know the story of Jonah, the big fish. And God said to Jonah, I want you to go do this. I want you to go over and talk to these people. Give them a word for me. Jonah's like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. So Jonah tries to run from the will of God. There, that's better. Jonah tries to run from the will of God. He tries to run away from something that God wants him to do. This has happened to me in my life. I mean, how many of you can say, you know, since God says, I want you to go minister, I want you to go do that, I want you to go to that job, I want you to, witness or whatever it is. And we're like, I'm not going to do that. I want you to go to that small group. I want you to go to that ladies group. I want you to go to that men's group. By the way, Nation to Nation for $75, that is a great, you won't get, the teachers are like, they're like renowned teachers from all over the world teaching on that, and teaching Bible, teaching leadership, teaching biblical principles, teaching life, teaching all kinds of things, ministry, and so it's a good thing. I don't know if you've done it here before, but it's a good thing. And so, anyway, but you know, maybe God's saying do that. You're like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. And so you find yourself, so Jonah, what he did, he goes, no, I don't think so. So he gets in a boat. And he goes out on the sea thinking, I'm going to get as far away as I can. And what happens? A storm comes. A storm comes. And there's Jonah. And Jonah perceives that the storm has begun to him. Sometimes when we run from God's purpose, God's will for us, it affects other people. All those other people on the boat were affected. They were all like, what? So Jonah goes, well, you got to throw me over. So that's what we have to do. when we find ourselves that we know God has said something, and we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, a consequences of storm because of our decision to run from God, or the storm just comes, and I know, God, you asked me to do this back here. I'm running from your will. I'm running from you. I'm just trying to live my life and not have you, you know, and not have you be there. We have to just surrender. That's what Jonah did. That's what he did. He just completely surrendered. Throw me overboard. That's a real full surrender. That's my life. I give you my life. I give you my life, Lord. Just throw me over. And then we read in chapter 2. See, Jonah was running from something, trying not to do something God wanted him to do. And we read in chapter 2 that Jonah says, in chapter 2, verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord. They forsake the mercy of the Lord. But he's saying right now, he's saying, when I was, it's an amazing thing to me. He says, I cried out in chapter 2, verse 2, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves, now listen to this, all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet again I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. He went down to the moorings of the earth. Down to the, you know, where the mountains are, down below the sea, you know. Not, the mountain doesn't end, you know that when you see it on the water. It goes, he went all the way down. But he says, but you have brought my life up from the pit, O Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, and he received God's mercy. See, sometimes we think, oh, what a horrible thing to be swallowed by a fish, right? Oh, that's such a horrible thing. The fish was God's mercy. Jonah says, and sometimes when we're running from God and we surrender back to him, sometimes he'll put us in the belly of a fish for a while. Sometimes everything's not going to be like, oh, it's back to normal. Oh. God wants to keep us for a while. Keep us. God said to me one time in my life, he said, are you willing to be invisible? Are you willing to be invisible? And sometimes when that happens, we're invisible for a little while. It feels like we're in the belly of the fish. Am I ever going to get, I feel like I'm in a cocoon here. But it's God's mercy. Because Jonah said, I was under there, under the water, and the seaweed was wrapping around my head. Your billows were going over me. He said, I was drowning, and I cried to you. And what happened? A fish came and swallowed him up. The fish was God's mercy. God will give you mercy in the storm after you surrender to him. And I just believe that God told me there are some here who you have had that. God has spoken to you. God has given you a word. God has said something to your life and to your heart. And you're like, no, I am not going to do that. I'm going to walk the other way. And maybe if I get on this boat, or maybe if I take this job, or maybe if I do this, or maybe if I move here, or maybe if I go there, he'll forget about it. And I'll just be able to live in peace. When God comes, and all of a sudden you find you're in the middle, there's an attack, there's something. And God's not doing it to you, but God's mercy is so great that he wants you to wind up on the intended shore that he has for you. And he will use anything to get you there. But when you cry out to him, when life is giving you a storm, cry out to him as Jonah did. And he will make a fish come and swallow you up. But he will give you mercy in the storm. And you know what else is interesting? Jonah is saying that all your billows flowed over me. But I said, yet again will I praise you. Yet again will I see you. That reminds me of a psalm. Psalm 42, where David says, all your billows have washed over me. All your water spouts have washed over me. He's talking about being at the bottom of a waterfall. You know, when you're at the bottom of a waterfall, that water, there's a lot of pressure and it's pushing it down. And he said, all your billows have run over me. And then he says, deep calls unto deep. And sometimes when you're in that place, and not only when, this is kind of a caveat, but not only when you're maybe running from God's will, but just when you're in a storm, you're in a difficult place. In the last 6 years, and we've shared it here before, my husband and I, so I'm not going to give you details, but we've been hit with a lot of things. Our family has been attacked. We've been hit with a lot of things in our life, a lot of storms. And we're still in some of those storms going on even now. And in the beginning of that time, 6 years ago, I was writing in my journal, and the Lord gave me a word, and he said, I'm about to take you into a place of intimacy and knowing me that you haven't known before. And I thought, wow, I was like, that's really great, Lord. And then that's when everything, the storm, about 2 weeks later was the beginning of the storms that have come and that we've been experiencing. But the Lord, I saw that when he says, deep calls unto deep, that sometimes in that place, that's the place where we really touch into the deep things of God. Because I have been brought to a place of intimacy and knowing God that I hadn't known before through it. And I'm not saying, well, you have to have a hard time. No, I'm not saying, don't hear me saying, well, you know, if you're, you know, have a hell, if you're suffering, but I'm just saying that it's in those times. Sometimes when we're up on the mountain, everything's good, we're like, ah, and it's a party. But it's not until the storm comes. In the storm, realize that God will be merciful to you, but also it's a place where you can really touch the depths of God's heart and allow him to touch the depths of your heart. So that's the first storm. God's mercy. God will be merciful to you in the storm. The second storm, again, is human decision. It's in Acts 27. We see Paul in Acts 27, verses 9 through 13, the whole chapter is talking about Paul is being arrested. There's a centurion that's in charge of him, you know, that's watching over him. So they need to get on a boat and go to Rome. So they need to take him onto this boat. So we see that Paul has that still small voice come over him. Paul has a perception, and I believe it's from the Lord. Paul says, we shouldn't be sailing out. Because I perceive that bad things are going to happen. He goes, I perceive that, you know, people are going to die. Like there's a storm that's going to come. So this is sometimes, let me just give you, Jonah was running from God. He didn't want to do something God was asking him to do. This is something that we're running to something, and God's saying, don't go there. God's saying, nope, don't go there, don't do that, but we're running to it. So sometimes, you know, in the storm, we don't pay attention to God, you know, that conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know, like, don't do that. Something, you know, there might be a storm brewing over there. And so we read that in chapter 27, verses 9 through 13. And it says, now, when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast. I don't know why it was because of the fast, but I'm sure if I could find out. But was already over, probably the season of time, because we know, like, not, you know, the hurricanes come like in the fall. So Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, now these are three things that we do that we don't want to do. We want to be like Paul in this scenario. Paul was like, we shouldn't go. But the centurion is sometimes how we can be, and we can get ourselves out on the sea because we're like, I just want to do that. I want to do that. And God's saying, no, don't do that. It says in verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. So in verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, they put out to sea, and they sailed close by Crete. Now, Point two is God will give you direction in the storm. God will give you direction in the storm. That's the second lesson. He will give you direction. Now, what do we do sometimes when we want to do something? I just want to date them. I want to go out with that girl. I want to go out with that guy. And you know the God's going, don't just do that. I want to get that job. I want to do that. I want to do that. But God's saying, no, I have this for you over here, but I want to do this. They're doing that great ministry. Look at all the attention they're getting. Or I just really feel like I could do that too. And God says, no, don't go there. I have this for you. See, we have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, don't hear me saying that we don't pay attention to, you know, there are people and there are voices of God in our life and there's leaders in our life. That's another message. This is what we do sometimes when we know God's saying no, and we step out into the waters, and then the storm comes. And the centurion, the first thing that we do is we listen to the experts. How many get into a fix or get into a decision you have to make and you Google it? Or you ask somebody that you think, and he listened to the owner of the ship instead of heeding the voice of the Lord through Paul. He listened to the owner of the ship. And we listen to the experts. Well, the experts say this, and the experts say this. We do that. We run to somebody that can give us an answer that we want to hear. Or we take a vote. Says the majority of the sailors thought it was good to do. So we take a vote. When in our church, when I was, my Chris and I were pastoring, there was this couple, and they were up for a job. He was a research scientist for a pharmaceutical company, and they were relocating him. And one of the relocations was in New Jersey, and one of the other relocations, I couldn't remember where it was. I think it was in Connecticut or something. But so they came to me and they said, "We know you hear from God. Can you give us a word of where we're supposed to go?" And because they were undecided about which one to go to. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, you know, they already know. I've already spoken to them. But they were trying to ask all these different people and trying to get a majority vote because they wanted to go to the other place. So they were trying to ask as many people as they could. If as many people could say, yeah, you should go there, then they would say, oh, maybe I should go there. And we do that sometimes. Our friends, oh, all of my friends think so, or all the people, you know, even though God, we still have that still small voice. Now, I'm not talking about spiritual leadership in your life or things like that. I'm not talking about godly wisdom coming. I'm talking about, because Paul was giving them the world. I'm talking about, you know, you get all these people, I go, what do you think I should do? Should I take that job? And you go, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if you should. And they're like, oh, all right, well, okay, what do you think I should do? Should I? And it's, yeah, sure. Take it. And we get enough people to rally with what we want to do. That's what they did. And then the third thing we do is, the third thing we do is we go by desirable circumstances. Now, the couple I told you about with the job location, one in New Jersey and one in Connecticut, the one that they wanted to go to had more, it had a slight, more of a paycheck. The where they were going to live, they liked the town, they liked the environment better, so it was like they wanted to go there because of the circumstances. And sometimes God does that, but God wasn't saying that to them. God was saying the other place. See, he was giving them the leading. He was giving them the still small voice. And so what happens when they ventured out and Paul listened to all those people? What happened to them? The storm came. Because the Lord, through Paul. So we want to be like Paul. We want to listen to the still small voice, not the centurion. But sometimes we're in the place of the centurion, and we ignore that. We're like, no, because I want to do this. This looks so good. Everybody's saying this looks, you know, this really looks like the good thing to do. And so we get ourselves out there by our own decision. We run to something that God is saying, don't do it. See, Jonah was running from something that God was saying, do. This is different. We run to something, and then the storm comes. But what happens? God gave Paul direction. God brought them direction in the midst of the storm. Said, this is what we're going to do. No one leave the boat. Everyone stay on the boat. but they had to throw some cargo off. See, sometimes if we make the decision to go somewhere, get in a relationship, go to a job, move into ministry, move whatever we're doing, when we make that decision to do that, sometimes we carry along, we have some baggage and some cargo that we're going to need to drop off to get through. And God will show you what to do. God will show you what to do that. But they had to drop off cargo. And he said, everyone stay on. And God saw them through. God saw them through. So he didn't say, well, too bad. You're on your own. Should have listened to me in the first place. You know, hope you make it. No, he didn't say that. He intervened and gave direction and still saved them. God will give you direction in the storm. Even if you've made maybe a bad turn or a wrong decision or a wrong choice, God will give you direction. And if you find yourself in the midst of that and you said, you know, I knew it. I knew that. That just happened to my son in the past 3 years, my son. He made a choice, and I know God was probably speaking to his heart, but he went this way because it all looked good and everything looked great, and he wanted to do it, and he found himself in a great, great storm. My son Josiah, not Elijah, Elijah, but he's gone through this last year, the last 2 years, a horrendous storm, but God has given him direction. God has showed him what to do, and he's paid attention this time, and he's listened to God. And God's bringing him through to the intended place that God wanted him to be brought through to. God's brought him to that place. God spoke to him about ministry when he was a teenager. God spoke to him about being a youth pastor and about things he was going to do with writing and with music. God spoke to him. And that all seemed to be going away in the past 2 years. But when last year, or this past year, it's been the redemption. But God spoke to him when everything hit, came down on him, when the storm came down on him. God sent a prophet to speak to him, a prophet who has been a close relation with our church for many, many years. I don't know if you know who Denny Kramer is, but that's who it was. And he had no idea what my son was going through. No idea whatsoever. My son just happened to go back to our church where we pastored to be there in the service, and Denny Kramer went up to him and said, I am not giving you a new grace, but I am reviving an old grace that I gave you when you were 15 years old. And he says, and I am reviving that grace. He says, your life has been hit. You have been personally hit, but I want you to know that you are not disqualified. And you will do the things that I told you at 15 that you will do. And that was all. And he's doing it now. He's a youth pastor. God's moving in his life. See, so God, even though I really want that. I want the big shiny thing. And God's saying, no, don't touch that because it's not going to be good. But he doesn't leave you out there. He will give you direction. He will be merciful to you, and he will give you direction. Amen? I got 5 minutes to get through the next 2 points, and I can do it. No, I can do it. The third one is, now these are God puts you out there. God says, hey, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to the other side, to the shore, to ministry, to this place, to this relationship, to this job. I don't know what it is. Some of you today, God's, you're making decisions in relationships. Or you've made a decision in a relationship. Remember, God will be merciful to you. God will give you direction. But then there's this third storm, and the third point of this storm is God will give you peace in the storm. God will give you peace in the storm. This storm is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 33 through 40, and I'm not going to read the passage, but it's where Jesus says to the disciples, let's get in the boat and go over to the other side. And Jesus told them to get in the boat and go over to the other side. And then the storm arose. And what happens? They lose their peace. They lose it, right? And that's what we do when the storm comes sometimes. I'm just living for God. He told me to go here. He told me to do this. I love the Lord. And all what is going on? What storm is hitting? Because storms of life are inevitable. They are inevitable. But this one thing I know, that when you cry out to the Lord, he will bring you peace in the storm. When we put our eyes on the Lord, he will give you peace in the storm. See, Jesus is our answer in every storm. We cry out to him and he gives us mercy. We call out to him and he shows us the way. He gives us direction. We cry out to him and he brings peace. He might not always calm the circumstances. He might not always calm the storm around, but he will give peace in our hearts to withstand the storm. He will give us peace, knowing and being confident that we're going to wind up on that other side, just like those disciples did. They wound up on the other side, and the God of peace was with them. He was with them. The fourth one is when Jesus tells them to go over, and he's going to go off and pray. He goes, go get in a boat and go on over. Again, and the storm comes, the rough waters come. And they look out of the boat, and they see a figure on the water. They're scared at first, but Peter knows something. Peter's like, okay, the rough waters are here, the storm's coming. And I've been in this scenario before, and Jesus isn't in the boat this time. But I think that's him out there, so I want to be where he is. But he goes, if it's you, call me to come out to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts to walk on water. That's amazing, isn't it? If anyone's ever been in Israel, I had the privilege and the delight of going twice. And we went out on the Sea of Galilee on a boat. There was no storm. I'm just sitting there going, this is the body of water that Jesus and Peter walked on. It was a cool thing for me. I mean, there was a lot of cool things, but I don't know why that was. And he walked on the water. And again, Jesus told them to go out on the water. Sometimes we go out in the water and all of a sudden the storm comes. And again, God, you led me here. You led me to this place. Oh, can I just say something that I forgot and just popped in my mind, so it's probably important to say about the second point? About when, because the circumstances looked more pleasant, that was why they chose to go out in the water with Paul's scenario. Can you get your mind back there? Sorry. I just wanted to say that it doesn't always mean it's God when everything looks nice, when everything's wrapped up in a nice package. And the opposite is true. It always doesn't always mean it's not God when things look more difficult and more harder to do. Okay. So anyway, God. But so here's Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on water. My fourth point is God will give you the ability to and the power. God will give you miraculous power in the storm. He will give you miraculous power in the storm. What you need in the storm, you need to have it to get through the storm. God will give it to you. He gave Peter the ability to walk on water. Surely he can give you the ability and power to get through the storm that comes into your life. And he will do it because all things are possible with God. Amen? All things are possible with God. So if he's called you out and you find yourself in the middle of the storm, when you call on to him, Peter said, bid me come and I will come. Lord, I'm looking to you. I just need to come to you. And he will give you power and ability beyond your natural ability to get through the storm. And you know, even if you step out there and you find yourself, like Peter did, walking along on the water, and all of a sudden go, what in the world am I doing out here? And he started to sink. He'll still be there. Jesus will still be there to pick you up. And you know, sometimes we overlook the fact that it doesn't say Jesus carried him to the boat. Jesus lifted him up and said, look, come on, you can do this. And Peter walked on the water again. That was a victory. That was a victory ending. He didn't sink and Jesus had to carry him. He started to go down a little bit and Jesus said, come on, you can do this. And he walked on water again. He will give you the ability to do the miraculous in the storm. So the first lesson is that God will give you mercy in the storm, no matter what got you out there. He will give you mercy. The second is he will give you direction in the storm. He won't leave you to yourself. And the third point is that he will give you peace in the storm. And the fourth is he will give you the miraculous power, the ability to do what you think and what others might think is impossible. He will give you the ability to do that. So it doesn't matter what had got you out on the water. It doesn't matter why you're out there and where the storm came from. God will see you through. And every single one of those scenarios, the people of God wound up on the intended shore that God purposed for them in the first place. Amen? Could you stand with me? If you're going through a storm, I'm not going to ask anyone to identify, but you know. You're like, life has been hitting me. always sideways, and I don't know how this happened, or you know, God, I know that I didn't respond to your prompting to not go there and step into that, and now you're in the midst of the storm, the things are happening, and you don't know how to get out. God will show you. You might have to let go of some things. You might have to drop some cargo off, but God will show you. Or, you know, you're like, God, I'm just crying out to you because I feel like I'm drowning here. And I know I need to get back and surrender myself to you. Whatever the place is, I want to pray for you right now. Could you just lift your hands and receive from the Lord? Father, I just thank you for these precious people, your people today. I thank you, Lord God, that you love them and you are faithful. And Lord, even though storms are inevitable in this life, as inevitable as the storms in the natural cosmos are going to be, Lord God, Father, I pray, Lord, that these precious ones here would know you, Lord, as their shelter, as, Lord, their guide, as their anchor, Lord, in the storm, because that's who you are to us in the storm. Lord, we need to call in every scenario, we need to call you. It's all about you. You are our safety. You are our deliverance. So, Father, I just pray right now that you would show yourself, Lord, where there are those who need to know your peace. Lord, you would bring peace to them today. You would bring peace to them. Those who need your direction, Lord God, Father, that you would speak to their heart and show them what they need to do. And, Lord, you would bring mercy to those. Father, you are merciful. Father, for the ones, Lord God, that have just have been running from your will or running from something you have spoken to them, Lord, you love them, Lord, and your mercies are new every morning, Lord. And so, Lord, this is a new mercy today, Father, as they surrender to you and walk, Lord God, in all that you've intended them to walk in. The Lord wants you to know that you haven't lost anything. There's someone here, the Lord wants you to know, you haven't lost a thing. You surrender it all back to him, and you're going to see him, his redemption in your life. You're going to see his redemption. You're going to see him give it back to you more than you ever even thought you could have had in the first place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for those that just need your supernatural ability in their life, Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would show yourself powerful, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would give miracles in this place, Lord Jesus, that it would be a testimony of your miraculous power as they feel, Lord God, whatever it is for healing, Lord, for healing, for physical healing, for healing in relationships, for increase, Lord God, in jobs and finances, Lord, for your provision and finances, Lord. I pray that their testimony would be, I felt like I was walking on water the way that the Lord came through with his miraculous power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Carol. Can we just get the prayer ministry teams to come forward? It's amazing when we think about storms in our lives, and you know, each one of us has different levels of storms that we face. And, you know, we may look at it as, well, their storm is much worse than mine. And that could very well be true. But if you've got a storm in your life, something that you think is, well, it's no big deal, I'll get through it, don't go alone. Don't go alone. The Lord wants to walk through you. So I would encourage you this morning to, If you're going through a storm that you just you're unsure of where it is or where you're going, that you come forward and let one of these teams pray with you and just ask the Lord for guidance. I think about the ways that the Lord speaks sometimes, and even just in hearing Carol speak this morning in a prophetic word, sometimes that's the way the Lord speaks to us. He comes boldly and he brings people into our life that, you know, you stand back and you think, wow, how could he have known? How could they have known? And it speaks right to the root. But then there's that time where it's that still small voice. And it's those things we have to be willing to receive and to just listen and understand that, you know, our decisions sometimes aren't always right, but he carries us through those storms and he redirects us. So just an encouragement to feel free to come forward. And then we do have snacks and coffee out there for everyone. Stay in fellowship as you may. Bless your week. And let's just give Pastor Carol another round of applause for that word today. Amen. Bless you.